Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, we're going to do another edition of Tell Al. Tell Al is an opportunity for you to hear somebody other than me tell you about the journey that they have traveled as they made an informed decision in their life to stop doing everything that society told them to do and to take a different approach towards retirement. Now, my guest today, I will tell you this about this guy. He's a hard worker, and I know he's a hard worker because he's a professional by trade. He has gone to medical school. He has done something that I had no interest in doing because I was afraid of all that education. But I'll tell you what, Bill was not afraid, and he went into the medical field. Ironically, here's what goes on in the medical field. You really have two choices. You can go to work for somebody else as a W-2 employee, or you can be self-employed. In other words, you build your own business. Well, that was the path that Bill took. He decided to build a practice, and he continued working on his business for a very long time. But he got to a point where he realized that even though he had amassed a lot of money, there was a concern. There was a concern that maybe that pile of money would not have the longevity that he needed, not only for himself and his beautiful wife, but also to pass on to his family. So what did Bill do? Well, he started getting involved with real estate. He did. He went out and he bought some single family homes, and you know, some of them he put a mortgage on, some of them he paid cash for, and you know, he got into the real estate business. But along the way, he found Lifestyles Unlimited, and he found a different modality that he could travel where he could not only get better results much faster, he could go as fast as he possibly could. So what did Bill do? Well, he took the bull by the horns, and I'll tell you what, he's knocked it out of the park. Bill currently has a portfolio. Bill, first of all, welcome to the show, Bill. Can I disclose the value of your portfolio? Is that okay for us to talk about on the air?
That's fine, Al. And how are you, by the way?
Oh, man. Hey, dude, I am so good. Thank you for asking. And thank you for following up with me on the, you know, that heart issue I had and stuff like that. It does mean a lot. I appreciate that. So here, let me just let the cat out of the bag, Bill. $1 billion. Did I have the number right? $1 billion? That's effectively the value of your portfolio right now, your real estate portfolio?
That's correct, but I do want to make it clear, I am not a billionaire.
Okay, all right.
But what it does mean that I have leveraged my money into that much of a portfolio, which is pretty amazing.
I think it's totally amazing. So here's the question I think is on everybody's mind. What did you start with? Where did you start in order to get to $1 billion?
Well, I actually found out about Lifestyles in 2015, and I did the 2-day in 15 and actually joined right after the 2-day because I knew this is what I'd been looking for. In fact, I'd been looking for some answer, something outside of the box, because just like you said, I learned, I went to school, I got good grades, I got a job, I ended up having my own practice. And I built this nest egg, just like I was told to do, stocks and bonds and so forth. But when I started thinking about, well, when I retire, what am I going to do with this nest egg? Just spend it all down? Is there enough? I don't really know. And so when I found Lifestyles, I found a new avenue. I found a way I could actually not only take advantage of my pile of money by investing it, but actually increasing its value and getting dividend checks.
So did you just like jump right into 70 deals right away, or did you follow a systematic process to get all of your money repurposed?
Well, with me, Al, I'm in Orlando, Florida, and when I started in 2015, everything was happening in, a lot of it in Houston, but a lot of it was all happening in Texas. So it was a pretty big leap for me to entrust some money with a what we call a lead investor in a multifamily apartment complex in Texas. So I did kind of put my toe in the water slowly. That first year I did two deals. I did choose leads that had a lot of experience, and I talked to them on the phone, and I felt like, okay, I'm gonna extend this and trust these guys. And sure enough, it worked really good. So the next year I invested some more. As you mentioned, I did have some single family homes that I'd bought here during the downturn. So I started selling those off as I needed more money to invest, and then continued that until 2018. I knew this was going to work really, really well. I could see it happening. So I knew at that point it was time to put my orthodontic practice up for sale and cash it out. And so once I was able to do that, that's when I really started getting in big.
So the business that you developed over time actually became kind of an albatross for you, huh?
It's pretty amazing. It was something I didn't know if I could get out of. I had my wife manages the practice, and she's very good at it. So you can imagine when somebody's good at marketing, the practice continued to grow. And so I got to the point where, well, I can keep working my tail off every day, or I could just start cutting back, or I could potentially just sell it. And so my choice was to sell it.
Hold that thought, Bill. I want to keep the audience in suspense. When we come back, Bill's going to tell you what he did. Stick around.
Your challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Walmsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at Lifestyles Unlimited Workshop. Are there any good real estate deals left?
I'm still currently investing in real estate. In fact, I closed a deal just yesterday. Got another one closing tomorrow. So I'm buying real estate deals out there, guys. I'm out there doing it right now. So if you think that there's no good deals out there, think again. There are deals out there. You just have to be out there looking hard and working hard and working through the process to get to the ones that work.
Join Lifestyles Unlimited's free workshop and discover the process that works. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So we're going to get into it with Bill because for all of you out there that are professionals, you know, you've been to medical school, or you've been to dental school, or you've been to, you know, law school, or, you know, any of those professions where it takes a lot of intense education, a lot of intense training, and then there's still a high washout rate. It can be challenging. But, you know, Bill, well, he took that bull by the horns and, well, he ran with it, and he built a very successful orthodontist practice. Did I say that right, Bill? I'm not good with the terminology.
That's close enough. Orthodontic practice, but that's good. You're doing good.
Okay.
Now. You're doing
all
good.
All right. All I know is that when my kids need braces, you're the guy I got to go to, right?
That's right.
Okay.
We make those beautiful smiles.
Yes, and actually my kids do have beautiful smiles, thanks not necessarily to you, but somebody like you. So we appreciate what you do. How many hours a week were you devoting to that business?
We work 4 days a week, but they're 10-hour days. So I'd do that, and then there'd be paperwork over and above that. So a good 40 hours.
Okay. And are you on call? I mean, are there emergencies that interrupt your day, or?
Not really. We're always on call, but the emergencies in an orthodontic practice are pretty minimal. So it's very rare we might have to go into the office on the weekend.
All right. And I ask just because I just don't know. And I want to know, because what I want to understand is why somebody who has a very successful practice doing exactly what they want to do moves away from that and then gets involved with real estate to the level that you did. I think we need to share that story, Bill. So let's get into it. You ready for it?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. So, yeah.
All right.
So,
go ahead.
So, I do love the practice of orthodontics, loved it for years, but approaching at my age, I'm approaching retirement, and that is traditional retirement we have to talk about. So when you get 65, everybody starts asking you, hey, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? And it gets in your mind all the time. You have to think about it. And that's where I was mentioning before about this. Well, I did it the right way. I had a kind of a pile of money there. And what am I going to do with it? Am I just going to dwindle it down to nothing? Or am I going to do something with it? And that's when I started looking out of the box and found real estate, and more specifically found Lifestyles Unlimited. Because when I found out I could invest in apartment complexes, that just blew me away. And so I took the bull by the horns and went forward with that. But getting back to the practice, and again, I still love orthodontics, but the practice my wife had helped me manage, and it got to the point where it was about a doctor and a half practice. So that means I was working like one and a half doctors. So to the point where it was getting a little stressful, I have to say, and I didn't want to give that up, but yet I knew I couldn't keep the pace up. So that's where I got back to those choices of what should I do in this situation? And that's when Lifestyles came in, and I moved forward with the real estate and knew at that point I can go ahead and sell my practice, get the equity out of it, and then continue working there as an independent contractor as long as the new doctor wants me. And that was kind of the unknown. Well, I did have a contract that I would work for 3 years after the sale, but because of the fact that it was a day and a half doctor practice, I can still continue working even now because the 3 years is up this year. So because I do love it, I will continue for a few more years. But now that I've been able to get into real estate, I don't have to worry about that pile of money anymore because I get quarterly distributions, and that fulfills what I need. And my nest egg, believe it or not, continues to grow.
Wow, I've got two questions competing in my mind that I want to ask. I'm going to go with the one on the left side of the brain. You ready for it?
Go on.
Okay. So, how many years did you spend building that practice and building up that big pile of money?
We opened the practice from scratch. In other words, I had zero patients the day I opened in 1987 till now.
Okay. 1987. Yeah. I graduated college in 1986, my first go-around in college. So I get that you spent a long time. When did you sell that practice? 3 years ago?
Yes, 2018.
Okay, so here's the question from the right side of the brain. When you made that shift to real estate, how long did it take you to double your money?
Well, we have to look at doubling money would be, I would have to say, my investment in real estate itself. Yes, and that's doubled. And that probably happened last year, believe it or not, during COVID. I had a banner year. We had some sales, we had some refinances, and it was a banner year.
Yeah, you know, I keep hearing that from a lot of the members, you know, that everything seems to be okay. Now, everything wasn't perfect, obviously, but man, I'll tell you, the Lifestyles Unlimited leads got together as a group, and all the mentors jumped in. And I mean, they were doing some serious wargaming about how to handle the coronavirus thing. And, you know, I think our members were way out on the tip of the spear, if you will, doing things that the rest of the industry was just trying to figure out.
Right. One of the things they did do was the first quarter, they held up on the distributions just to be sure that they'd have enough deposits in the bank to take care of things, because really nobody knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, it was definitely the wild, wild west, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And even now with this moratorium, it's very difficult to get some of the people out.
How's it affected your returns? I mean, are your investments doing what they were intended to do?
Absolutely. And what's even more, I would say, what's happening now because of the inflation that we're having, the values are going up. So the capital gains are going up on a lot. I think that's one of the reasons a lot of the leads have decided to sell.
Yeah, I mean, the market appreciation is just kind of silly right now. But, you know, it's a good time to own assets and sell them.
There's no doubt. Now is a great time to have hard assets with inflation, because you want to keep up with inflation always.
Absolutely. Hey, I'll tell you what, we're going to break, Bill. And when we come back, let's talk about the details of your investing strategy, because I think people think that it's very complex, but I think we're going to find out it's really not. Stick around.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself, who got started in 87, go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. Said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online pre-workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so if you're just joining us, I have Bill on the show with me today. Bill is a longtime Lifestyles Unlimited member. He changed his life. He totally changed his life. He moved away from well over 30 years being self-employed as a medical professional, and he shifted to becoming a real estate investor. Now, one of the reasons he did that was that he realized that even though he had amassed a pretty big sum of money, the game plan he was following was going to have him consuming that money. And that didn't sit well with him. And, you know, probably in the back of Bill's mind, here, I'll just ask Bill the question. Hey, Bill, did you ever have a concern that maybe, based on the lifestyle you wanted to have in retirement, that bag of money that you'd saved might run out before you die?
I did. And what worried me the most is what I'd probably start doing is not spending money. And then my lifestyle would start going down because I was afraid I'd spend all the money. So I was afraid it was going to turn into this cycle.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle.
Lifestyles have changed. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you became a member you obviously decided that multifamily was the way to go because you, like me, had no idea that we could actually invest in apartments. I mean, I'd never heard of that. I always thought, you know, it was just houses, right? So what was that epiphany like to you?
I couldn't believe it. And, it's funny because how I found out about Lifestyles was one day Dell was talking on the radio, the show. They brought it to Orlando, and I just happened to get on there and listen to it. And the more I listened to it, the more I started saying to myself, is it possible that I could get involved as a passive investor, whatever that is, in multifamily apartment complexes? So that enticed me to go ahead and get online and do the introductory, and then decided to go ahead and do the two-day. And during the two-day, the first day of the two-day, you learn about single-family homes. And since I'd already bought 9 single-family homes during the downturn, I learned that a lot of things I would have absolutely done differently after doing that first day. The second day then was all about multifamily apartments. And that really blew me away to think that I could, in fact, invest as a passive investor, not have to do anything other than maybe go to the mailbox quarterly and in these multifamily deals. And it's been a great ride.
Yeah, when Dell talked about the concept of forced appreciation, and I have to explain that real quick. So forced appreciation is something that works in multifamily, but it doesn't work in single family. It has to do with how properties are valued. So when you have something that is a collection of 5 or more units, that is considered multifamily, and it is analyzed and valued based on a business income approach, which is different than single family properties that include duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. Okay, so there's your infomercial there, Bill. So tell me what forced appreciation really meant to you.
With forced appreciation, if we're the capital gain obviously goes up in the apartment complex, and it also the quarterly distribution could potentially go up. So a lot of times what will happen with these apartment complexes after a period of time when they force the appreciation, then they go in and refinance. And when money is pulled out for a refinance, that money is, believe it or not, tax-free.
It's a good thing, huh?
It's a fantastic thing. It's a fantastic thing. And I did want to mention one thing about real estate is since I have sold my practice and only working a small amount of time, my taxes have actually gone down, which is pretty amazing. Yet, I'm still making a lot of income off of real estate.
Yeah, and here's the beautiful thing, Bill. You're no longer working in your business. You're working on your business, and you're dabbling in dentistry, orthodontics, if you will, because you're having fun. You dig that stuff. I mean, come on, it's part of your culture, it's part of your life, it's part of who you are, right?
Absolutely. It is part of me. And me loving to still see beautiful smiles keeps me going in that field. But you're right. I don't have to manage that anymore. I just go in, have fun, say see you later.
I mean, isn't that nice? That really should be the goal everybody should have for themselves, to be able to come and go, do what they want, when they want, be productive when it's appropriate, and enjoy their life. And Bill, you've nailed it.
Thank you, Al. I like to feel so, but it's fantastic.
So what do you look for in a multifamily apartment deal? I mean, what are the things that catch your eye? Is it the cash flow returns? Is it the potential to force that appreciation? Is it location? What are the buzzwords that you think about when you're analyzing a deal to see if it works for your portfolio?
Well, the first thing I always look at is who the jockey is. Who's the lead investor that's in charge of this? I want to check them out. If I don't know anything about them, I might ask another passive if they've invested with them. So that's really my first criteria, is who's going to lead this multifamily apartment business. And then after that, I look for the return, because I'm looking for, since I am retired, I'm looking for yield. I'm looking for that distribution. So I want to see what that's looking like. And I'm also interested in the capital gain, or the value end of it. And that forced appreciation is what chalks that value up over time.
And is it hard to find deals that meet your requirements?
Believe it or not, there's more deals than I could ever buy.
Yeah, it's that abundance mentality thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because in the beginning, I just couldn't imagine, well, how can so many people get in these? But then after a while, you find that there's a lot of deals going on, not only in Texas, but a lot of different states now, because lifestyle's expanded to so many different states. So it's really, it's almost a chore to keep up.
Yeah, well, and I'm kind of looking at a snapshot of your portfolio, and you're pretty well diversified geographically. I mean, you're in Texas, you're in Arizona, Georgia, Florida, Oklahoma, Alabama, and even Kansas. So why do that? Why spread out your money across different geographic regions?
Well, what I determined early was, again, we were talking about the lead, so I want to have a lead I can trust, and a lot of those leads might be in a different state. So I like the idea of being diversified in different states. I like the idea of being diversified with different leads, and also the size of the deal I look at. Because I will sometimes go in with a very new lead. If I feel like they're somebody worth investing in, I'll go in with them.
Aren't you a little nervous with first-time leads? I mean, you know, they can make a mistake, right?
They can make a mistake, so you have to weigh those little things, that's for sure. But guess what? With diversification, you can take that risk.
Very good point. Yeah, very good point. And I think one of the things that people kind of forget is that all the, what I call the powerhouse leads, which is probably not a fair statement, but, you know, these guys that are into a lot of deals, they all started with their very first deal. And, you know, they put their business plan together. They made it available to guys like you and I. We made a decision as to whether or not we wanted to get on board with them. If we went on board with them, and they did everything they said they were going to do, we get the results we're looking for. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some of Bill's results. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited members are the best apartment investors in the country.
So for the last 13 years now, since 2007, every single year, one of our members has won the National Apartment Association's Real Estate Investor of the Year. So how hard is that to do? Well, that National Football League, what does that have, 34 teams? There are 44,000 independent real estate investors in this country. And one of our members each year was the best.
Do you want to be one of the best real estate investors in the country? Do you want to play with the same game plans and be coached by the same captains and team leaders? Then join our team. Register for the next live online free workshop. Once you join us, you'll have the backing you need to win every time. Remember, real estate is a team sport. Register at lifestylesunlimitedfreeworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I've got 106 questions I want to ask Bill. I've got like less than 10 minutes to do it. So we're going to try and, you know, just jam that square peg into the round hole and see what happens. Are you game, Bill?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So how long did it take you to redeploy all of that capital. I mean, when you finally got to that place in 2015, you said enough is enough. You educated yourself. You realized that there was a completely different path. From that point forward, how long did it take you to repurpose all of that money?
I would say the first year, I only dipped my toe in a little bit. And then 2016, a few more. 2017 got pretty heavy, and that's when I decided to sell the practice in 2018. So 2018 was the big year. So I was investing pretty heavy in 2018. And honestly, after that, when I've deployed everything, I'm pretty much, I call it critical mass, because really all I'm doing now is when we get a refi or we have a sale, I'll reinvest those proceeds in something new. I follow the John Pry theory of the seed corn.
Oh, yes. Sensei. I like to call John Sensei.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, and, you know.
No, okay, it's a great way to go.
It is.
If you do it that way, you don't have to worry about just keeping that pile of money the way it is. That pile of money is going to grow.
So you got all that money repurposed. In 2008, you're blown and going. You realize you've got money trapped in a business that you need to get out. You make that decision. You create a lifestyle change to now where you're not worried about operating a business anymore. You just get to effectively play in the business. Not that dentistry is playing. Please don't get me wrong. But, man, what a lifestyle change. What was that like?
I was a little worried, honestly, in the beginning, what I was going to do. Only working, I went down to 3 days and 2 days, and now I'm a day and a half. But every time I had more time available, it just seemed like I created things to do. So I don't know where the time goes now, but I'm just having fun all the time.
Do you feel like the pressure of life is just kind of not on your shoulders anymore?
It has been a big change, that's for sure. There is no doubt about it. When you take that weight of the practice off your shoulders, hand it over to somebody else, it's almost like one of those relay races, isn't it?
It is. So here's a question for you. Do you even worry about money anymore?
I have to say I probably don't anymore. Now, I will say that I'm watching my bank account and watching the mailbox every quarter for those distributions, but they do keep coming in.
So you got to be spending, what, like 40 hours a week every quarter trying to review all that stuff? And isn't that how that real estate game works?
No, I don't think it's like that.
No?
No. You know, I might put in... I think I work the most at it when I'm collecting the distributions. And when I say collecting, they either are ACH'd in my account, most of them, in fact, but I will get some still in the mail. And then I have to go to the bank. Darn.
Oh, that's you know, they got this mobile deposit thing. I finally figured that out last week.
I actually did, too. The only time I have to go to the bank now is if I get a distribution check, or I should say a refi check, that comes in the mail. Then I have to go to the bank.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of those too, and it's like it's kind of a big check, you know, and they just won't let you take a picture of it for some odd reason.
That's right. After a certain amount, they won't let you put it in. You've got to come in person and show it to them.
So really what you've created for yourself is a banking problem.
Not really. So, yeah, I mean, to make a long story short, I don't put a whole lot of time in it. I put some time in every time I'm looking at a new deal to make sure the right decision I make on those. But for the rest of the part, I have a lot of time on my hands now, which is fantastic.
So tell me about what the future looks like for you. I mean, are you going to slow down on the investing? Are you going to keep going? Have you gotten to a point where you want to be? What does the future hold for you and your household?
At this point, what I'm doing is, as I mentioned, the John Pry effect, I'm reinvesting all the refinances and the sales. back into new deals. So there may be a time where I don't have anything I can invest, even if a great deal comes along. But I do save that up so that I can reinvest in that. So I will keep that going. I'm going to kind of contemplating having what we call a family office and continue it that way. And hopefully my kids will get involved. Two of them have entered into lifestyles a little bit, but they haven't actually bought anything yet. So they're getting boned up on it a little. But hopefully I'll get them involved in the family office and just keep this thing going. We're hoping this is generational.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that family office, because that's kind of a foreign concept to a lot of people, even in the Lifestyles Unlimited community. I mean, when you join Lifestyles Unlimited, that's one of those things you want to get to, but you don't necessarily start right there. So what is that concept of the family office? What does that do for you?
Where I found out about the family office was from Curtis Haynes, who's a member. And he had, I think, went to a family office, not couple of years ago, and interviewed these people and found out what it was. So he presented this concept one time. He was talking with Dell on the radio, and I really like the idea where that's more or less your business, where you'd have all these apartment complexes in one conglomerate, and you would manage those as a passive, and this money would stay in that family office and be distributed as needed.
And who do you get to distribute the money to?
Well, right now we would distribute the quarterly distributions to live off of, and then the refinances and the sales would be churned back into new deals. So really just managing that.
Okay, so really it's not a whole lot of extra work. It's just something that holds everything together.
Exactly.
Okay. So I know you're happily married. I know you've got four wonderful kids. The majority of them have gone through some kind of medical school. One guy was smart. I get that. That would be Michael, right? I'm just being a wise guy, Bill. So what is your plan for them with this family office? I mean, let's just be clear here. We have an expiration date. We just don't know when it is. So what are you doing to plan for that event?
That's where the family office comes in, and the concept will be that I can get the kids involved in it so they can help me work with it, and then I can pass it on to them.
And are they on board with that, or are they kind of like, oh, Dad's going to like throw this burden on us?
Well, I keep talking about it, but I haven't got anybody totally on board yet. But we'll continue working on them at that. They're into their careers right now, but we keep working with them on it.
You know, maybe they're smarter than we are. Maybe they're going, hey, Dad's got this. It's not broken. Let's not mess with it until we need to.
That could be it. I don't know.
That could be it. What kind of advice would you give to your fellow professionals out there who are contemplating doing what you have done?
What I would say is, again, with my business, it involves me, the business I sold. And if you're not there to open the door, then the money doesn't come in. So I feel like all professionals should have other sources of income. Now, whether that be real estate, which I love, or other potential businesses they could invest in, I think that's very important to have other streams of income. So number one, they don't have to work as hard. They can work as much as they want. And if they love what they're doing, they can continue, or in time they can actually retire.
Did you say the retirement word?
I did.
Wow.
And we have to look at, you know, my retirement that I've had always thought about was at the end of my career. But for a lot of younger docs, there's no reason why they can't get streams of income other than having to work for it earlier, and then they could cut back and or retire earlier.
Yeah, you're spot on, Bill. There is a path for everyone at Lifestyles Unlimited. Definitely a defined path. Hey, Bill, we're at the end of the show, and as usual, I kind of wish I had a two-hour show because I still had a bunch of stuff I want to ask you. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hook up with you at the expo. We're going to hang out and have a good time, and we're going to meet a ton of other people. And if you want to get started, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.